Moving on to the Coburg Tigers quickly here as part of the KC Radio mid-season review. They're 5-4 and currently sitting in position 7th. One of those teams really positioned to, finish the season with a flurry and put themselves back into that top four positions. They've won 4 at home and only won 1 away so far. So their goal kickers have been well spread between Schultz, 24, Cunnell, 15, Jack Rewalt, 12, and Little has kicked 10 goals as well. So managed to find different avenues to goal. And I think joining us on the program here on the Saturday morning VFL football show is their general manager, Ryan O'Connor. Welcome to the program, Ryan.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
It's been a couple of weeks since we've had a chat to you, but so much has happened at the Coburg Football Club. We thought we'd touch base with you once again. I guess the outlook for the second half of the season is how the Coburg side will respond under new coach Craig McRae. Has there been much of a change down there since Jade's now taken over the full-time role at Richmond?
Yeah, look, it's been a bit hectic, boys, but look, we've got a fabulous caretaker coach in Craig McRae, and it's just a fabulous endorsement for VFL football that Jade's been given the role down there, and an endorsement of a really good young coach, and we wish him well with that. But we're focused on the task at hand. Our last two games have been far from good. And we're really looking to try and bring the second half of the season home and really establish ourselves in that the finals makeup.
Now, I guess, along with the change last weekend, it wasn't really noted, but obviously at AFL level, Jade brought in 5 players who I've thought had been in pretty good form for the Coburg side over those few weeks. Shane Edwards was an example of someone who was, when playing at Coburg, really providing some drive off that half back line. There's been a couple of changes to the makeup. Obviously, this weekend, the introduction of Jared Sylvester, which is a great thing for the Coburg Football Club, seeing another player coming through the system and getting a debut at AFL. But there has been some changes, and it definitely does affect the makeup of Coburg, who was really building some momentum before those two losses.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one. Continuity, there's a lot to be said for it in terms of a side playing well and playing together and understanding each other. That's one of the challenges, I suppose, you face at VFL level, and especially, I suppose, when our line partner is looking at new players and different players, and I suppose the people or the players that you do have available will come back, and they might be at different stages of their careers, or be feeling certain things, and you've just got to be able to manage that and make sure that the side goes well week in, week out.
Well, that's one thing that from an outsider looking in, that was one thing Jade Rawlings could really hold his hat on, was the ability to get those Brisbane players when they came back down to really perform. Obviously, he's still going to be there, and that alignment between Coburg doesn't really change. I guess it makes it even stronger having someone with close ties to the Coburg Football Club like Jade does. Well, do you think that's going to add extra pressure to Craig McRae, who's been an assistant coach now and has been given the reins and has to try and manage both the Richmond players coming back looking to try and keep their careers going, because they're going to come to the crossroads at the end of this year, you'd imagine, going forward to a couple of the players coming back, and also in maintaining the youth's progression, which has been such a vital feature this year? I mean, you must have been really impressed by the performance of Nahas going up to AFL level, making the progression from VFL, but also Tyrone Vickery, I thought last weekend, really did find the grade, not a big step, when he finally made that grade, because he had been developing quite nicely at Coburg.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one, and I suppose when we you analyse it, you can have a look at it in that regard, and you might say there might be a bit of pressure this way or that way, but look, I don't take it that way, and in my discussions with Craig, he doesn't take it that way either. He sees this as a fabulous opportunity to develop himself as a coach, and also he's very focused on winning games of football. He believes in a winning culture, and that's the best way to go about it, and he's challenging everyone, so it doesn't matter which player it is or what number they've got on their back. Everyone has to improve and develop and make sure that they're out there and giving 100% week in, week out. So, look, it is sometimes a little bit more about process. And if you get the right process and the right people together, the results will come from that. And that's very much what we've been trying to put forward since the change. The boys have got to stick to the process, and hopefully we'll see the results for that today.
Well, one of the processes, I guess, in season 2009, which has been a great interest story for the VFL and for your football club, is the progression of Graham Pollack. I saw he got nominated in the best in the reserves last weekend, and he slotted his name amongst the players selected this weekend. Will he play actual senior football this afternoon, Rhino?
Yeah, look, I'm not 100% sure on that. I think we were going to have a look at that when we get over to the ground. But yeah, look, Polly's an interesting case in that he's working through obviously a few personal issues with his health, and we've got to be extra careful, you know, after the injury that he suffered.
Yeah.
But look, he's a fabulous young man, and you know, the boys have really loved having him around the place, and you've just got to admire the way he has bounced back from you know, what was such a terrible injury.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing I think in season 2009 I've liked the introduction of is the 23rd man, and it's great to see the Coburg Football Club really push this one forward. I know you've been in the progression of the VFL teams, you know, looking at ways of getting some under-18 some game time, and always been looking to try and promote some local talent. Young Fuster's been selected this weekend as the 23rd player. Anything you can tell us about him?
Yeah, he looks like a very much a modern day footballer. He's 198 and he'd be about 94, 95 kilos. And, he runs very well. He's very sound athletically. So we're quite excited. We think he might be able to really get in there and play not so much as, say, a ruckman, but maybe more as a ruck rover. And, we're keen to see how he steps up to the level and how he finds the bigger bodies and that as his progression from, you know, the TAC Cup. And, look, Andy Duo, who's been the other Calder Cannons player, has been absolutely fantastic. He featured in our best players when we played Box Hill earlier in the year, and then we went up to North Ballarat the other week. He kicked a couple of goals. And it is a fantastic way to promote the younger players and get them to come up and have a look at VFL football. And I think in a lot of ways, I'd like to think that maybe we did set the tone for it when we played young Polkinghorne and Mitch Farmer in the last couple of years. And I think it's a real, as much as we're aligned and we work very hard in terms of our football program with our alignment above to the AFL with Richmond, we work equally as hard with our alignment below with the Calder Cannons. That's the way we can make footy really strong within our region.
It's absolutely, totally agree with you, Rhino. It's fantastic. And I mean, from the kids' point of view, obviously after the game, when you see them come off and they've had a taste of some of the senior action, we had a bit of a debate on the pre-game last weekend where some of the guys were thinking, it'd be hard trying to align yourself with some VFL teams. Would the Calder Cannons be happy with some of their better players being at risk playing against some senior bodies? But these kids must be just thriving at the opportunity to play at a higher level and really test themselves out against some bigger bodies and a quicker pace of the game like the VFL.
Well, look, in a way, a year, it's an interesting one. Tyrone Vickery, who debuted last week, I think he's actually 6 weeks younger than Trent Cotchin or something like that.
And, yeah.
Trent Cotchin's played a year of senior football at AFL level. So I suppose the different players progress at different stages, and it's about picking the right players at the right time. You'll see interstate that you know, the best young players, they're playing senior SANFL, or in Tassie they're playing you know, I think Jack Rewalt played a full year of you know, seniors in the VFL before he got drafted, and it gives the recruiters a real understanding of how this kid's going to progress. And I think too, also challenging these kids, it allows that progression to come on in the right cases in a quicker manner.
Now, this weekend, playing against the Zebras, always a tough opposition. They went down last weekend, so both teams were desperate for a win. Sandringham are just outside the eight there on 4 and 5. You guys sit 5 and 4, so it really is a crunch game this afternoon. How do you see the boys respond on the track this week, and what do you think of your chances against the Zebras?
Yeah, look, the boys have responded really well and trained well. I think as part of the transition with a new coach, Craig's just I suppose ironing out or laying out a few different tactical things and a few demands that he has that were different to Jade's. And I think the boys have responded really well. They'll be smarting after especially the first half, where I thought we were very poor last week. And I think they'll really come to play. It's obviously a must-win game. And look, it does bode well for a really good encounter, because I know Sandy will be very keen to put their best foot forward too.
Well, Rhino, thank you so much for coming onto the program. You're always great in giving up your time. We're heading out to Coburg once again, so enjoy the fine facilities out there, and it should be a great game of an even contest, I'm thinking, this afternoon. Hopefully the Coburg Tigers get over the line.
Yeah, absolutely, boys, and hopefully you'll bring a big crowd down with you. I know we've got a lovely day, and ABD Group Stadium will welcome everybody.
Yeah, even Phil Pearce.
Hey, that's it.
Have a great one, Rhino. Thanks once again.
Cheers, boys.
Ryan O'Connor joining us, the general manager of the Coburg Tigers, and I didn't want to get into it, but it would have been interesting to see just what sort of disciplines that Craig McCraig has actually put onto the players, because sometimes I don't want to get into some of the more personal sides of the football clubs, but maybe we'll try and follow up on that that this afternoon. You might even see if Craig will be interested in having a chat with Phil Pearce a bit later on. Join us from 1 o'clock for that game this afternoon, Coburg versus the Sandringham Football Club. We'll try and get Chopper Lovell on the program in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, Coburg, 5-4, continuing our mid-season review. You've caught me on the hop here once again, Brycey. Casey Scorpions, they're 5-4. So, interesting results this weekend. At home, they're 2-2. And on the road, their performances have really improved. They're actually in front on that ledger. The only club so far to be so. They've won 3 and lost 2. So, strong performances by the young Casey Scorpions. Leading goal kickers is interesting. Liam Jarrah, who made his debut in fine fashion in the AFL last weekend, kicking 14 goals so far in season 2009. Juice Newton, he's on 13. Russell the Love, Muscle Robertson on 12. And Danny Hughes on 11. So all Melbourne-listed players there for the Casey Scorpions. They've It's been an interesting mix and development under our first-year coach, Peter German, for the Casey Scorpions, and I reckon if he had have handed the boys 5-4 at the halfway mark, they would have accepted it. It's such an even competition. They're really only 2 games away from a great finish off to the year, or 2 games away from missing out on the 8th. So a lot of pressure on the young Casey Scorpions going home. Every game's a tough one. They actually have 2 games against Williamstown in the run home and games against North Ballarat, Coburg. But they also played the bottom 3 teams. So we'll have to really get into these projections next week, Jim. I'll give you a bit of a task, and we'll nut out who we think's going to win for the rest of the season and some projections from the halfway mark. But I think the Scorpions will be right there at the finish. And look, they've been really supported by some of the more experienced Casey Scorpions players. I think Alex Silvani, that move into the ruck was just inspirational against the Bulldogs. He is a very versatile footballer, an underrated footballer, Alex Silvani. The great Wall, James Wall, was fantastic down there. The versatile player, plays in the midfield, centre-half back, centre-half forward, wherever the team needs him. 2008 Best and Fairest. He's probably got one hand on that once again. The only player I think that could rival him would be Shane Valenti. His form has been consistent once again. Pretty unlucky not to be getting more taste of AFL senior action. Hopefully Melbourne can find a spot for him going forward next year. But Valenti has been good once again. Collingwood, Jimbo, their stocks have really risen in 2009, haven't they?
Played above themselves this year.
Well, not really even above themselves. They just put a competitive outfit, yep, as it says there in the VFL record, competitive outfit. And that's all we wanted. They can develop all their players like they want, and that's fine. But they must go out there and keep the competition realistic and competitive, and that's what they've done. So they're 5-4, sitting in 6th position on percentage. They're in great form. They've won 4 games at Visy Park, only lost 2, and on the road they're 2-1. So, been favoured by the draw, you'd say, in the first half of the season. Chris Bryan is leading the goal kicking with 22. Chris Dawes, who's been selected for Collingwood this weekend, he's on 15. And big bad Brad Dick, he's kicked 12 as well. So, it's interesting his rise in the AFL, hasn't it, Brad Dick? You wouldn't have thought the way he was travelling in the VFL, he would have achieved so much so quickly. He definitely has some talent, but he's producing the goods at the moment.
Well, those 5 goals he kicked a couple of weeks ago, just is probably as good as any 5 goals you'll see by an individual this year.
The run home for the Pies, they play Frankston twice and also meet Geelong. So you'd think they'd win those games, and they play North Ballarat, Williamstown and the Northern Bullants, and have to travel to Sandringham for a home, or they travel to Sandringham to play the Casey Scorpions there, and also back there to play Sandringham. So interesting run home, but you'd think Collingwood's current form, they would make the finals. Frankston, 0-9, currently sitting in 12, separated by percentage from Bendigo. Murray leading the goal kicking with 15. Berry only 13, probably one of his lowest seasons to date in terms of goals.
Used to kick them a week.
Yeah.
Not quite that, but yeah, used to kick 13 goals, Kate, you know, in a couple of weeks consistently.
Okay, well, they play Bendigo, which might be their only opportunity for a win in season 2009. Hopefully for the local mob down there at Frankston Park, they can turn it on tomorrow and build some momentum and, you know, cause a couple of upsets going forward. They've got the kettle, they've got the cattle, just a matter of producing it every week. Geelong, 3-6. As we've mentioned before, they really will be relying on James Podziadli continuing his good form for the second part of the season. Yeah, their season so far has been pretty disappointing. Against good opposition, they really are behind, and they have 3 wins going on their performance last week. I know, and in troublesome conditions, but you know, you talk about preparation, Jimbo. How long did Williamstown spend on the ground before the game, kicking it around and doing different drills and really getting used to the conditions? Geelong came out, did a 15 or 10 minute warm up, and went back into the sheds.
Yeah, probably not long enough under the circumstances.
You've got to get out there and get amongst it when you're at Burbank Oval. It's not easy pickings. You're not running out to, you know, a stadium that you've got like at Skilled or even a place like, it's probably one of the...
MCG.
Well, it's one of the most exposed grounds in the competition, in the competition of exposed grounds. Yep. I mean, Sandringham's there.
Very few grandstands.
Yes.
It's open up to the bay. You've got winds coming from every direction.
Yep.
Not like the MCG.
What were they at half time? 2-8. So going forward,
3 goals to 3 quarters time. So
I think going forward, they didn't kick a goal in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. They'll have to, they'll be heavily reliant on, I guess, some of the Geelong players being fit and ready to go. If Matthew Stokes is picking up 38 possessions, you'd imagine they're going to win, but. We were sitting near the Williamstown stats, people. We should have checked that. North Ballarat, wow, what can you say about last year's premiers, Jim? Continued to really impress. Only lost one game for the season. That was on the road. So
it was round one, too.
That was.
So they've actually won 8 straight.
They have.
Yep. Which is probably fair form for the competitive North Ballarat that we've grown used to.
Premiership favourites?
At the moment, yeah. Again.
We'll finish probably on the top of the ladder. And, yeah, it's going to take a good team to beat them.
They've done it without a home ground.
Well, they're back there this week. We'll talk about that. We'll have to quickly try and fly through the rest of this mid-season review and get into round 11.
Yeah, that home 4-0 at home, I think one of them was in store, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you could really say 3-0 in Ballarat and 5-1 away from Ballarat.
Talking of the other Northern team, the Northern Bull Ants, 6-3. They're currently fitting in 5th position. Their best is up there of the best in the competition. Their worst is as good as the bottom teams like Bendigo. So they've gone up and down and all around, a bit like Carlton's form so far. Brad Fisher leading the goal kicking there with 17. They're 6-3 in 5th position. Looking at their run home, they have 4 games against the bottom 3 teams, and they won't play Williamstown or the KC Scorpions again. So you'd think the Bull Ants will be somewhere amongst it coming down to finals time. Port Melbourne, the Borough, 6-3. They're currently sitting in 3rd. TAC Oval record this year, 5 straight.
Yep, and 16 on the trot, I think.
I think 3 of them have been ABC. They love to play well when the cameras are on, Port Melbourne. And on the road, they've only won 1 and lost 3. So they need to improve that. Big bad Adrian Bonadio, the angry man in the Borough forward line. He's kicked 16 goals for the season, and Chris Kane has been impressive so far, contributing with 14.
I couldn't mention Schultz in that lot, could they? He's been all right this year.
Well, he has been good, little Wayne Schultz, yeah.
Yep.
Interesting story as well about that youngster. He was facing death or serious injury at one stage and told he would never play football again.
Mm-hmm.
Middle-aged debutant as well. I think he's about 25 or 26, yep. But he's hit the ground running for Port Melbourne, and you know, he'll be looking to develop his game and move into replace Robin Nahas. So they'll be travelling a lot more in the second half of the season and won't spend so much time under the camera. They'll be travelling to Sandringham, Werribee, Box Hill and North Ballarat. I think their performance last weekend though against Coburg has really put them back amongst it, Port Melbourne. Hopefully that's a momentum swinging season-defining moment for Port Melbourne, and they can get their skates on and really start to put some pressure back on the top teams, because it seemed like Port Melbourne were just slightly slipping away at one stage. But like the Borough, who have been impressive in recent seasons, will be getting back amongst it. And I need Adrian Bonadio. If he can finish the season on 30 to 40 goals, you think Port Melbourne will finish in the top end of the ladder. The Zebras, who I think are a genuine chance of making the finals, they're the only team outside the eight who can. They're sitting 4-5, who play Coburg this weekend. They want to keep it even, the ledger. They want to go to 5-5. They sit in ninth at home. This is an interesting record for the Zebras. They've actually lost more games than they've won. They're sitting at 2-3. Sorten obviously leading the goal kicking on 41. Young Tommy Lynch on 14. And Goose Maguire, there's an article about Goose. He might be going to the Bulldogs.
Apparently not. It wasn't his words.
Okay.
They were the words of other people, apparently. That was in The Age, wasn't it?
I don't know. Probably Caro
I think the article you're referring to was in The Age.
I didn't read it. Well, hopefully Matt Maguire can find a spot down at Melbourne. They should take him because... They could do with a bit of grunt and a marking capabilities, both forward and back. So,
because you've also got to remember, Max Hudgston's probably in his last season.
If Goose can finish the season fit, you'd think he'd find a spot somewhere else if St Kilda were looking to let him go.
I don't think he wants to go. I don't think he wants to go.
What about Brad Fisher? Is his time at Carlton spent?
Again, Melbourne could.
Yeah,
but
could do.
Do teams in Melbourne's position want to pick up?
I think they need
players
to.
From other teams.
I think they need to start because all good teams that have won premierships and are impressing at the moment in the top end of the competition have got players from other teams.
Yes.
And Melbourne can't even win a one-on-one contest. Yeah. They're going nowhere.
If you can pick up these players who can't get a game for other teams and pick them up at bargain basement prices, that's got to be good for them. And it's got to be, if they can play good football.
Well, Brad Fisher and Maguire and
are good footballers.
Yeah, exactly.
They're in the top end of their clubs, but unfortunately circumstances aren't allowing them to play consistent football.
Going back to the Zebras, tough run home. They play against Port Melbourne, Collingwood and Williamstown in the run. So, look, they're really going to need to improve on their at-home performances. I know they're under some pressure, but I think the Zebras, we're desperate to play in the finals this year, and I don't know who they're going to dislodge, but I think they'll be right amongst it.
Well, they don't miss the finals 2 years in a row very often.
Werribee, can they do it, Jim? Can they turn their season around? They're currently sitting in 10th position with a record of 3-6. They had a win against Collingwood, so you don't know exactly where they stand. Obviously, they look better with Nathan Thompson inside their forward line. But, it's going to be a very tough run home. They do play Frankston, Bendigo Bombers and Geelong. But on the backside of that, they also must play Northborough at Williamstown and Port Melbourne. So on the run home, you think the Tigers will just miss out, which will be disappointing. And Simon Atkins, he'll be... be the second year in a row, I think, that Werribee have missed out on the finals. Although they played last year. They played the prelim final last year, didn't they? I don't know. We'll have to check that. Williamstown last year had a record of 7-2. Currently at the halfway mark, they have a record of 7-2. Their position second. And at home, they've won 4. On the road, they've won 3. So that's pretty good form. Their forward line continues to impress. Matthew Little with 36 and Rose with 26. The most impressive player, I think, in 2009 in the games I've seen to date would be Guy O'Keefe. He's been absolutely fantastic in the Williamstown midfield. There's a player who could win the Liston. If you could have a bet on it, Guy O'Keefe would have to nearly go as close as favourite. He's probably had 4 or 5 best on grounds, and he can win a Liston with only 8. So if he can continue his good form in the second half of the season, Guy O'Keefe could win the Liston medal. I think... Williamstown will continue to keep going forward. Their season of redemption is not that far away. I think Williamstown are definitely the big threat in this competition this year. And they had a bit of a glitch losing those 2 games in a row, but it can happen to any side. And the break came at a perfect time for Williamstown to really rejig. And I was impressed by some of the lesser-known players that haven't been impressive so far, like Jared Grant. I thought he was good when called on. Young Roughhead, who's another Western Bulldog-listed player, I thought he was impressive in the ruck. They rested, they didn't rest. Scotty Meyer couldn't even get in the side last weekend. Chris Egan's injured, and they were still too strong for Geelong. So there's the mid-season wrap, and Jimbo, can you see anybody getting themselves into the top 8 from outside. Or would you consider anyone under pressure who might lose their spot?
The matter of who loses their spot rather than if Sandringham...
I think it's going to come down to the Casey Scorpion Sandringham.
Yep, and where they play their games. And
isn't that just interesting in itself? After round one, when Sandringham went out and belted Casey, everyone thought, the alignment, gee whiz, what have they done? It's not looking good. Sandringham are going to be premiership favourites. The Casey Scorpions have... gone down from ground zero all the way up. They continue to impress. They've had good form against some good opposition. They bet the Northern Bull Ants, and you'd think the Casey Scorpions would have to win. Either side are going to have to win 5 games to get into the finals. And will it be Sandringham? Will it be the Casey Scorpions? It starts this weekend, round 11 of the VFL. And let's get straight into our preview and Jim's tips for the weekend ahead of us, because we don't have long left. There are more kids inside Studio 2 that I've seen before in my life. It must be school holidays, and they've all come down to get amongst it, and Bryce is in there once again. So they'll be starting at around 10:15, the Dandenong Junior Footy League show. Round 11, and the ABC game, Jim. We're talking about this mob. Casey Scorpions travelling to Burbank Oval to take on the Seagulls. Last time they played, it was in round 13, 2008, and it was Williamstown. 15-21, 111, defeating the Casey Scorpions 14-11, 95.
They've played 9 times, and Williamstown hold a 6-2 lead with 1 draw. And the average score between the two teams is interesting. 12 goals, 16-88 to Williamstown, 12-11-83 to Casey. Highest scores are interesting also, just 17-15-117 to Williamstown, and Casey's highest score, 18-6-114. Very low high scores, for considering they've had this is 6 years into the stats. So my personal opinion, Williamstown should win comfortably.
Well, the Scorpions only have 11 AFL-listed players in their selected lineup there this afternoon, so there will be some opportunities for some of the young Casey Scorpions players to continue. Tim Moore, hasn't he been fantastic, often going up against bigger-bodied opponents, battling hard in the ruck for the Scorpions. But on their performance last weekend, you'd think the Seagulls would be pretty impressive. The Galah, Dean Galea, has been given a spot on the interchange bench. He's been dominating the reserve competition so far, so good to see him back amongst it. And it's a pretty good forward line to think you can rest Dean Galea and still win games comprehensively and still be sitting with nearly 1,100 points for the season. Quickly flying through the next game, Coburg versus Sandringham. It is the broadcast game on KC Radio this afternoon, so join myself and who have I got with me? Darren Parkin.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be hosting this afternoon, so get used to this voice, people. 97.7 will be broadcasting Coburg versus Sandringham, live from 1 o'clock. Last time these two combatants went in, it was round 18, 2008, at this ground we're going to, ABD Group Stadium. And it was Coburg, 14-10-94, defeated Sandringham, 13-10-88, a tight contest. We're hoping for the same once again. Nick Sortner kicked 800 goals last weekend. Congratulations to him.
His
800th goal. Yeah, that's right. Didn't kick 800 goals last weekend.
It was a good weekend if he did kick 800 goals on the one weekend.
They still got rolled, didn't they?
They did.
But, yeah.
Highest score ever in the...
Yeah. Highest losing score.
Yep.
how good are Box Hill going? But no, 800th senior goal in the VFL competition over the span of about 11 or 12 seasons. So congratulations to Nick. That's what I wanted to get out, Jim. Your tip. Going to have to confirm players who are going to be selected, because there's a lot of players there that will play on Sunday. I think they're both teams are playing Sunday, looking at those players that have been listed.
I think so, yeah. Yep. 8 times they've played since 2003. Coburg old a 3-5. Coburg have won 3. Sandringham have won 5. Average score is 12-10-82 for Coburg, 14-14-98 for Sandringham, and an average winning margin for Coburg is 11 points. For Sandringham, it's 46 points.
Oh, they don't play well at Trevor Barker Oval, I don't think, in history, Coburg.
4 times they've played at Coburg, and it's 2 each.
Yeah. And what is it at Trevor Barker? Do you have that?
Be 1 for Coburg and 3 for... doesn't sound right, does it?
Oh, well, we'll move on.
But whatever the...
Yeah, the difference is, yep, okay.
1-3.
Geelong versus the Northern Bull Ants at 9:40. Jimbo, it is the curtain raiser.
Yep.
Get down there early. Yep. Show them your...
Lucky it's not a busy park, because the gates wouldn't be open till 1 o'clock.
You can actually get in if you've got a blue VFL pass or a gold VFL pass like us, if we're gold members, or if you're a member of the Northern Bull Ants. 600 people can get through the gate if you want to get in the car and get down to Skilled Stadium as early as you can. You'd be keen, wouldn't you? You'd have to be keen. Sunday morning, down at Geelong, Skilled Stadium. The Cats are playing whoever they're playing in the afternoon. Yeah.
Port Adelaide.
Port Adelaide, yeah. Cracker of a contest. On last week's performance, you'd have to say the Northern Bull Ants will be too strong. A couple of changes, though, to that forward line, and have to see how they man up there. I didn't think they positioned themselves very well against the KC Scorpions, and they left themselves with players in the wrong position, notably David Boundy and also Hartlett. Hartlett has spent the whole season at centre-half back, providing plenty of drive or at full-back. Gets moved to full forward, didn't get a sniff. Boundy, who's one of their leading goal kickers for the season, gets put in the back line and got beaten. And that's why they lost to the KC Scorpions. It was that easy.
Yep.
Box Hill versus where...
Geelong. They played seven times. Geelong have won just the once. Bull Ants have won six times. Absolutely dominating the fixture there. Average score for Geelong, 11-11-77 to Bull Ants, 15-13-103. So Bull Ants should win comfortably there. Now to the...
your tip?
Definitely Bull Ants.
Bull Ants?
Yes.
Okay.
If they get there, they've got to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I think they're staying down at Geelong tonight. Yeah. Box Hill versus Werribee. Last time they played was actually round four in 2009 at Chirnside Park. And Werribee, 13-12-90. Defeated the Box Hill Hawks, 10-9-69 at Box Hill City Oval. And you can tune in to the other mob, 3WBC 94.1 FM, yep. Whitehorse Radio.
Yes. Box Hill... 13 times they played Werribee, 6-7 in favour of Werribee, and an average score for Box Hill is 12-13-87 to Werribee, 13-12-90. So very, very close there. I personally think that actually that should be 12-13-85, so apologies for that. Very, very close there. Werribee should, I think Box Hill will win.
Well, Box Hill haven't lost at home, and I can't see that form changing. They've only got five players, I think, listed from the North Melbourne list. And my man Barlow continues to impress. Was he best on ground against Collingwood? I think he was. He probably was.
Probably. I'll check that for you.
Okay, I'll just go through it right now, see how he went. The best players for Werribee. I got third best on ground last weekend. Rockefeller and Martinello must have been sterling performances to keep Barlow from top spot. Yep. He's a smoky for the list. And we'll just move on from there. Box Hill at home. I'm sure Stanger agrees.
Box Hill, yes, should win, hopefully. Yep. Frankston versus Bendigo.
Frankston versus the Bendigo Bombers.
Cellar Dwellers.
There's some interesting players back in that Bombers lineup, isn't there? With Leroy Jeter and Bucko Hooley and Zacharias, Danny Myers. Is it Danny Myers? Is it... I don't know what his name is. Michael Hurley.
No, it can't be Danny Meyer. He plays for Port Adelaide.
He does, but is there something Myers? He's there. He was playing in the seniors. Scott Myers. No, he plays for Williamstown. Anyway, Frankston versus Bendigo. Who's your big tip with this one, Jim?
All I can do is go for the home team, Frankston, and hopefully they should have a better team. They're a standalone club. Normally standalone clubs beat the struggling AFL clubs. It's normally injuries and poor form that... mean the AFL alignment clubs struggle. So personally, I think Frankston should win, but anything could happen in this.
Yeah, I'm tipping Frankston out of loyalty, but looking at that list of a couple of Essendon younger players who are on the bubble or on the fringe of bursting into that senior lineup, Hooley and Jane Eagle, Bell Chambers will be looking to. Impressed as well. So, I would not be surprised if the Bendigo Bombers, having that long period of time off, really refreshed and come out and pull the pants down on Frankston. Yep. This is their chance, though, for the Dolphins and also for former Kangaroos premiership players, Shannon Grant, to get their first win of the season. Yep. And, you know, with some question marks and looking to try and see the future of that football club, maybe the Bendigo Bombers will have a point to prove in the second half of the season and really get their skates on and turn it around. So, yeah, I'm really talking myself into tipping Bendigo, but I'll stick with Frankston.
Frankston Older, 6-4 favourites head-to-head. Collingwood versus Northern Bullets? No, it's North Ballarat.
Yep.
Apologies there.
Which is make sure is up there at Eureka Stadium. So
it's actually Northern Stadium, I think.
Yeah, but I think it's part of Eureka.
Okay. Collingwood have lost both games against North Ballarat since they've gone standalone, and North Ballarat should win comfortably.
Last time these two teams played was in round 4, and as you hear on the preview for us every time now, Cameron Richardson slotted one from the pocket. It was North Ballarat 17-5, 107, defeated Collingwood 15-12, 102. That's live from 2 o'clock, also live on the web at livevfl.com.au, but you won't be listening to that because you'll be listening to 97.7 FM's coverage of the blockbuster down there at Frankston Park. It is the Bendigo Bombers versus Frankston. Neither team have notched a win in season 2009. Can they do it on Sunday, or will we see a draw? Wouldn't that be a shame if we see a draw?
That'd be good for both teams, but it won't do them any good in the long term.
And this afternoon, as we have previewed, Coburg versus Sandringham. We thank our guest, Ryan O'Connor from the Coburg Football Club, joining us once again. This is the Round 11 edition of KC Radio's Saturday morning VFL football show.